Hello and welcome to the Wool Gathering. I'm Ed. I'm in Ireland. It's been a long time. There was a whole hullabaloo in between then and now. Basically, I kind of confronted somebody about something, and there was all whole host of stuff involved in it, including a bout of concern about my online privacy. And I used the honeypot method to identify signs of external judgment in the offline world. And so that kind of came about with a few extra things, including the confronting and brushing up against some bigwigs and being afraid of my life. I don't know if I should have been, but I kind of was. Gang stalking and all that, which is, you know, I don't know if you don't believe it, that's okay. But, you know, things like that's what kind of happened. And, you know, I'll probably explain a couple of things later on. But there you go. You know, it's easy when you know that things are around. You can, first of all, shock them. If people are looking, you can shock them, or you can turn the heat up a bit on some things, or you can go a bit more explicit on some things, or you can act like a lure or a prey, act like prey, you know, in order to lure in the interest or whatever, and then try and find out. But anyway, I'll talk about it probably more in between shows and things and whatever. But basically, that went on and brushed up against some things. And from what I can tell, it's all calmed down anyway. And I'll have to talk in general terms because I don't want to be liable and all that kind of stuff. But in a nutshell, that's kind of what went on. And I will also put in a section here that I want to sort of have this. I guess it's not a disclaimer, but here I'm going to edit this in as well. This is all in one chunk, but I'm editing it all as different shows because it's just for being able to label them and stuff. It's just easier and easier to listen to it and put it all in one thing. Now, I also wanted to say about anything that is or might be deep fakes. I want to put deep fake in as well, because that is going to be the next thing. And probably what everyone should be worried about in the overnight scape. It's so easy to copy anyone's voice now to sound like you might be in trouble or anything like that. And of course, anyone's face or anything. So if you see me out there, you know, on something and it's not me, basically just ask me, is it me? That's it. And it probably isn't otherwise. If you can't verify it from me. So there you go. And I'm just going to put this kind of disclaimer thing in as well before I continue. And then we'll just continue on to the happy-go-lucky show that is the Wool Gathering. Well, it's not. There's a lot of pontification and philosophy. And it's not very happy-go-lucky at all. So if that's what you're here for, you better scroll on or move on or whatever. Okay, so a lot more of that coming up in more half-hour episodes. It's basically a continuous recording broken up. But I just wanted to add a note onto the end of that. I have it here. I've taken note of the intentions of certain individuals, which I have reason to believe were not entirely benign. It is clear to me that pertinent information relating to this has been withheld from me, so in the interest of self-preservation, I have deemed it necessary to sever ties and establish boundaries. I refuse to associate myself with individuals, regardless of familial ties, who engage in clandestine conduct or obfuscate facts. I have no tolerance for such behavior, and any attempt to engage in disingenuous or manipulative dialogue with me, however you may be compromised, shall be met with silence. So, yeah, just to get that out of the way, really, because, yeah, that's what it's all about. So it's kind of it'll go on into an edit here of recording. Actually, I think it sounds better the other way, which people have a hard time believing, you know, that because I was saying like there's. I don't think I mentioned yet, but they're like gang stalking and different things involved. And, you know, this stuff does go on. And as I was saying before, people, if it's Scientology, people have watched the Scientology documentaries. you know, it's par for the course. If you watch that, that's what they're doing. They're after the people outside, and it's acceptable if you say it's Scientology.
Reason when you say it's Scientology, because you can see it on the documentaries that they do it. When on the Scientology documentary, you can see them doing the gang stalking and following people and everything else. But if I mention something else, or the government or something, like that, oh no, you're schizophrenic, you're paranoid. But look, it goes on, you know. But it's par for the course for kind of clubs or societies or certain religions. It's just part of what they do, kind of. But it's easy to get freaked out about it, you know. And that's partly the reason they do it as well, to what's the word? Why aren't words coming to me? Intimidate, yeah. That's because they know, they actually want you then to know, so that you do find it intimidating, you know. Anyway, so that's the reason, kind of in a nutshell, why I haven't come on in so long, and why I talk in general terms. And yeah, I'm just trying to get back to just living my life, and I've had to cut certain people out of my life, and put up boundaries and be careful, because it actually does make you paranoid. I mean, in the sense that, I don't mean in a sense that I'm pathologically paranoid, but in a sense that, you know, if something is real. And if things are going on, then what else? What else is not real as well? You know what I mean? So you start to question other things as well, which is not nice. So, and then, yeah. And then, of course, they'd love to pin that on you, that you're actually crazy and losing it. And that would be the answer to everything then. Not that you're right, of course, just that you're nuts. And that's a great gaslighting technique as well. So handling all that is a ball of bloody wank, to be honest with you. I just rather not have had to deal with all that. And so I don't know now if this is a good idea to... But you know what? I think Apple has listened. They put a pause now on this voice recorder thing. Which I should probably use about now and see if this... Although I'd have to stop it to play it, though. Yeah, this may not see the light today. Let me listen back.
Wow, Apple really did listen. Because even though I stopped that and listened back to it, you can go back into edit and then go to the end of the file and say resume. So there we go. That's good. All right. So managed to catch a good trade there. Basically just jumped on it, and so did someone else in the Discord there. What was it? NNOX, which is NanoX Imaging Limited. It's an Israeli-based company that develops a digital X-ray source, enabling a cost reduction of image systems. I don't see any particular news catalyst, really. Maybe it was that one, was it? Was that 1325? A files annual report 20F form to the SEC, I guess, is it? Or that's 2022. Oh, Nanox files 2022 annual report on form 20F. So I don't know. I guess that was good news, maybe. I don't know. But I managed to catch $400 I got on that. And I got $200 on another one here. Yeah, it would be good if this is real money, but really, I'm looking at it as if it is real money. So this is a green day for me. This is almost a goal. I should really consider it goal for me, because it's now, well, it's $536, considering I still have a bad call, option call on Amazon. That's actually down quite a lot. So I'm hoping to get out of that later. That's down over $1,000, actually. What happened with that was I basically made a mistake, because it started going up. The earnings were after the market, and it started going up before the market ended, which I didn't bother looking at. I was just already in bed and decided, well, I'll put a call on now because the earnings will be after market and it's bound to go up. But what happened was it went up before even the earnings, and then someone said something stupid on a conference call about their Amazon Web Services, and it went right back down. And but I didn't even bother to look at the chart. That's, you know, it was just human error on my part. I should have bothered to look. Had I seen that it went that much up already, maybe I wouldn't. Although I did think I'd seen it got that it went up, but I didn't pay no mind to it because I was just like, oh, it's probably just going up before the earnings because it's bound to go up more when the earnings come out, you know. But anyway, so I do hope to get out of that at some stage. I'm not completely sure how this options call will work because sometimes what happens is if I hold on to it till expiry, because they work by timing. I think I got this one till the end of June nearly. Sometimes you're better off letting them expire because they can only expire at so much. You know, you won't lose much money. I think that's the way it works. It just depends on the details of the contract, because it is a contract. I think it's an options contract. So I'm not totally sure. I'll have to look into how much I can actually lose and how much I can gain on that. Anyway, that's that one. And so I don't know. I think I might be finished trading for today. I should actually. I mean, what they say is the motto here is, get green and get out. Basically, get to goal and get out. Just don't trade anymore once you're there. Because the longer you're in the market, much like gambling, really, and the more you can, you're primed, promoted, what's the word? Prone to lose the longer you're in there. So the market's about to open, I think. I'm not sure. HLP, what's HLP? Another Chinese stock here. Hongli Group Holding Company. It's funny because in the market every day there's always something different. Today it's the Chinese stocks for some reason. Chinese stocks, no real news. Just particular Chinese stocks for some reason. I wouldn't mind getting in on this now because it seems to be going up. It's already gone up, what? 316% today, this one. Hongli Group. Mainly engaged in manufacturing of sales of cold rolled formed steel profiles. Company is primarily engaged in design, production, further processing of and sales of customized profiles for machinery and equipment. Okay, and it's over what's called VWAP here, which is volume weighted average price, which is kind of a bullish sign. I'm looking at the spread here. The spread is nearly 40 cents, which is not good, really. Well, it's not good if you're trying to buy in. 50 cents there, 40, 45 cents, 2 cents. Not 2 cents, 12, 7. I'm just looking at the bid and the ask, what's between them, you know. Basically means how much it has to go up before you start making money. 19, nearly 70 cent spread there. My God, is it worth getting in at that? For some people it might be. There's 40, 50%, 50 cent spread. I don't know, it's not worth it again for me since I've kind of made my money for today. I could call that goal. I mean, 5% is a really good goal. I'm at nearly 4%, 389% of the account, so I should really not trade anymore today. It's at $19 and it's coming back down now. Okay, so this is probably where you get the good spread though, 20 cents. Some of the things as well, you can short them as well, but it's getting harder to short stocks now. They're putting short restrictions on them, and sometimes they have to go locate particular stocks for you, and then they charge you a fee for that as well. And, you know, there's a lot of that going on now. I don't know. I don't know if there was a lot of that going on before, but it seems, in my view, it looks like there's a lot more of it going on anyway. And there's a lot of like pump and dumps, you're just getting in, getting out, getting your money, and you know, there's a lot of that going on as well. So you really have to be careful. But
yeah, so that's where we are with the whole thing. I think I explained everything kind of, you know, as it is. And otherwise, what's been going on with me, I've been looking more into, I kind of got diagnosed with like Asperger's, but they don't call it Asperger's anymore, when I was 34, I think it was. And I never really paid any mind to it because, you know what, there's nothing you can actually do. There's no pill, there's no cure. There's nothing you can do with it, really. And I, all these years, the more I've looked into it, the more kind of confused I got. However, with TikTok and the algorithm and all that, there has been some interesting things where I've noticed I've really resonated with some of the other kind of autists or tisms, starting to call it now, if you got a touch of the tism, right? And none of, it's funny because it's the first thing that annoys me when people kind of learn about me, you know, that you don't look autistic. But it's funny because I'm having the same bias that people do to me that I don't like. Because when I look at them, I'm looking at them and I'm kind of like, well, they don't look autistic. I'm doing the same thing to them that I don't like people do to me. It's very odd. And I've said it to one of them there and they were like, you're right. I don't because, well, first of all, it's not a social situation when I'm on the camera. Second of all, I'm masking because I know I have to get the views and all this kind of stuff. And it's such a difficult thing, but the things they talk about, I really resonate with, and they obviously know what they're talking about, and they obviously have the same problems, and so it must be a thing then. Is what I'm kind of it's solidifying it for me more. You know, this neurodivergent thing, and why I find it so difficult to, sort of socialize or whatever. Yes, everybody masks, and you know, we all play certain roles or have certain characters or all that kind of stuff. Like, everybody does it, I understand, but I think the difference is, the neurodivergent or the autist or whatever, we sort of do it because we kind of have to do it. We're not doing it sort of out of choice, kind of, or something like that. I don't really understand it. It's like, how can I explain? We're sort of doing it out of trauma and, like, I was talking to my therapist the other day, and I was sort of, the topic came up somehow. I'm always kind of talking about this thing lately. And he was kind of saying, well, you know, most people just don't think of social stuff, you know. And I was like, yeah, well, I guess they don't, but, you know, I do. And I was kind of thinking afterwards, like, I can bring it up to him again, but I think what he was sort of suggesting is that you just don't have to think about it so much. But I think the point is, for us, we have to think about it because there's no other way for us to do it because it's not natural for us, you know. I just have to start accepting that, you know. There was ways we were trying to work on it, making it natural and more natural and stuff like that, but I think that's actually one of the main problems with it. I think for the most people who have it, it can be different things. It can be different cluster of different things, and there's all sorts of really bad stereotypes and like that. It's highly intelligent, or they're very good at maths, or all these kind of things. And you know, it's so diverse, the neurodiverse thing, that you know, there's all different types. And but I think that is seems to be one of the main things. I don't know if it has to be, but that particular communication, and it's all in the mind. You see, you might not see it on the person's face or what's going on in their head, you know, but when I see someone else talk about it, I'm like, oh my God, they really get it, you know. And they're saying, well, they're autistic too, or on the spectrum, or whatever you want to say. And it's like, you know, it must be a thing then, because they're all saying the same thing that I highly resonate with. Because I did have a bit of a thing before that. You know, how did it come about, first of all? Well, who was Mr. Asperger? I think he was a Nazi, and it probably had to do with eugenics, and they were just saying these things about other people to segregate them, and who knows what's real and what isn't, and maybe I'm just a highly sensitive person, and maybe this and maybe that.
So, and you know, the way things are categorized as well, you can just categorize things randomly anyway and say it's this thing or it's that thing. You know, gaslighting my own diagnosis, basically. And personally, I hate personally, and it may be true clinically that it's a disability. But personally, I hate that. I hate the idea that, like, I'm disabled, I just hate that word. And my wife was laughing. She said, well, would you rather be called an invalid or something? Or I forget what other word she was talking. She said, there was another one a lot worse. And I was like, oh, God. I just hate that, it may be true. It may be true, but I couldn't. And I look at people that are using it for, government things and what do you call them? I don't want to say handouts, but whatever, not grants, what do you call them? Things that governments can help you with if you're disabled, all that kind of stuff. And I would just hate to do that, Because I'm like, I can still do stuff. I can do, like, if I had to go out and get a job, okay, I wouldn't like a very social one, but I could be like one that you don't have to be social in. I could go be a fisherman or something. It's not like I'm disabled, like, in a way that I can't do anything. Like, there's definitely certain things that would suit me. Yes, it would stress me out if I was doing some social thing. And I remember, I worked in cinemas. I worked in garages as well. And yeah, they bloody hell, they did stress me out. And so... But it's good to find out these things, even though it's a bit late for me now. But like, there's not much I can do about it now. But and it's probably getting worse, I think. But it's good to find out more, because it helps me more. But also, it actually makes you get worse more in a way as well, because you notice things more as well. And so and that's the other thing about me putting up boundaries as well. Like, it's not only about stuff that happened as well, but it does help with this. It is convenient, I suppose, as well, in the same sense. But it's just it's good to know these things as well. There's also a part that I'm worried about, and I said this when I was 34 when they did the diagnosis, which is it's a whole lot of these exams, and you sit down and do these AQ autism quotient exams and stuff. And I was barely on it, by the way. I was not like, I know they say high functioning and all that. I don't think that's even a thing anymore. You're just on the spectrum, right? So that's the way they say it now. The way they used to say it, I don't know. Maybe there's some validity in that. But it's just the way some of them, I just love the younger generation, the way they're able to, particularly spot these things, and then they're using this word advocate, so they're out there advocating for it and telling people these different things. And there's was one or two that have their doctorates in psychology as well, and they're saying there's basically nothing in psychology that really goes through this. So they're just sort of making it up on their own, like how to help ourselves. Like, and they're neurodivergent, and they're like saying, look, this could help, that could help, and these are things that are not in the books, but they probably will be eventually now that we're saying it as a sort of a community and all this stuff. And that's another thing I'm not very fond of, is that whole idea of community. It's maybe I'm just looking at it wrong. I mean, I have biases against this being disabled and being in the community, I guess. I don't know. Maybe that's something I need to work on. I don't know. But it's just... It's interesting, and what I was going to say was, what I said when I was diagnosed was, one of the things I was worried about was subconsciously acting like what my subconscious or what I think autism should be now that I know that I am, and then trying to actively act like that, because we can tend to do that in social situations, like we form fit our personality to what we think we should be or something like that, and what your idea of it is. And that's another reason why I sort of like shunned it aside a bit, like, and firstly because I didn't understand it, secondly I didn't want to have to go through that I'm acting some way or something like that. But it did bring to my attention about kind of like unmask, trying to unmask and trying to find, you know, that kind of stuff. And that's a difficult process as well, unmasking. And again, you know, everybody does masking and stuff like that, but it's a very different thing when either you're neurodiverse or on the spectrum, whatever you want to call it. Well, I think it is. And I can't specifically tell you why, but I tried. Like, for example, we have to think about communicating. Like, we have to think about how's my face looking, how, you know, it's a very, I don't know what's the word, almost material thing to us to do, where someone else could just mask, and it's exhausting, but someone else could just mask more naturally or something, or just not mask if they didn't feel like it or whatever. I don't know. I'm probably not explaining it very well, but something like that. It's different. It's different. Because, you know, neurotypicals have all these answers and they just, you know, and it's, some of it's laughable because they're like, oh, I would never, and this is what they're saying sort of on the, you know, in the culture or whatever, is like, you know, oh, I would never I don't know, what's the word? Not racist, but against, do anything or say anything bad about autistic people. But in fact, people do all the time, because if I unmask and be myself and I don't regulate for other people's feelings and I don't put the work in socially, and, you know, it's always, if we do it, it's always us 100% and never the other person even halfway. So it's always us doing the work. And then if we don't do any of the work, we do actually get, you know, a face or a, you know, it is, we are basically shunned then. You know, if you're not charming enough or whatever. So it's amazing, yeah, well, how much of the social thing matters in the world and what sort of a face you put on and stuff. And I'm still just learning about it. I don't really understand it, exactly what it is, but I'm pretty fucking sure I have it. Like, I still question it, even though I did get diagnosed, but because, yeah, but it's definitely making more and more sense. And the ADHD thing, funny enough, I found out how real it actually was, because I looked up on my 23andMe, and I looked up, there's a code that you can use for certain codes that you can use that are attached to certain things. So I've tried to look for the codes for ADHD and what are the common ones. And one of the most common ones was this particular genome that would be, that would sort of have a fault to it, or whatever the word is. Basically a fault in the genome, and I had that one. So I literally, it's in my genetics. I actually do have ADHD genetically. I can see it, because I thought I was winging that one. I really did, because I was like, I really just wanted the drug so I could start moving more to exercise. Really, to be honest, that's what I wanted it for. But and I did want it for concentration as well, but I just thought I had fucking shit concentration. I didn't know it was actually ADHD. And it does help with that a little bit as well, because it just keeps the energy going. And mind you, it does, you know, it's hard to deal with other things, but they've settled down now a bit, like with sort of a anxiety and things like that. But, you know, norepinephrine or whatever it's called. But I don't think I'll be on it forever, because it's like, it's for your brain to learn neuroplasticity and all this kind of stuff. And apparently, that's Ritalin, by the way. So that's autism and ADHD. And a lot of people, by the way, that have one do have the other. It's like a common thing. ADHD, now they're calling that. Now, I don't know. There's a lot of things that are not in the diagnostic statistics manual that people kind of go on about, like rejection sensitivity dysphoria, RSD or whatever, something like that. I think rejection sensitivity is one of the things, and also pathological demand avoidance as well. Now, I'm not sure if all that's in the diagnostic statistics manual, but it's definitely, there are definitely terms that are talked about a lot sort of in the community and that.